pray, Father, we do to you in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Father, we understand from the Bible that from you and from the Lord Jesus proceeds the gift and anointing and unction of the Holy Spirit. That's what we pray for now. Holy Spirit, come, fall fresh on us, melt us, mold us, make us, change us, fill us. Let renewal, revival, great awakening, new reformation, hearts stirred to the power of the Word of God be upon us now. And we pray, therefore, that your Word will rule in us. The Holy Spirit, O Holy Spirit, be our anointing guide, every one of us. And Father, we're praying this because we want your greater glory to be our supreme concern and our highest delight and our deepest joy through Jesus Christ in mission and ministry. Amen. Well, when the rabbis read the book of Jonah in temple, when they finish the reading and roll up the scroll and set it down, they look at the congregation gathered, as I'm looking at you now, and they say, "Who is Jonah?" And they answer back in unison, "We are Jonah. We are Jonah." I like it. You probably like it too, because it brings us home right away to the reality of the application of the Word of God to us. That Jonah isn't some person way out there in history. We have nothing. No, the Word of God is breathed by the Holy Spirit and breathed into us so that we can grow and deepen. And today we want to deepen under the heading of a fish belly faith. A fish belly faith that will run toward God instead of away from God. That point number one about the characteristics or quality of a fish belly faith. Point number two, simply, that we glorify God greatly by being a people of prayer and repentance. That's what happened to Jonah. Who is Jonah? I am Jonah. You are Jonah. Wouldn't mind going fishing and catching a big fish like that, huh? Supper would be taken care of for a long time. And then thirdly, we'll look at the fact that a fish belly faith that is anchored in prayer and repentance and anchored in running toward God, well, thirdly, that fish belly faith has a great undergirding assurance of its legitimacy and its power and its application and strength, because God, hallelujah, he is the God of the second chance. He is the God of the second chance. And so we'll look at each one of those under the heading of how do we best glorify God with our fish belly faith. You know from our Westminster Confession of Faith, one of our chief Reformed catechism creeds, the first question, what is the chief end, your raison d'etre, your reason for existence, what is the chief end of man? Man here being the collective of male and female. Genesis chapter 1, God created man as male and female. So what's the chief end of us? And the answer comes back, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Well, that's right. That's one end, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Sounds like two, but it's really one. But because that is the case, John Piper says, hey, our lives could be clearly with laser precision, anchored in its highest happiness and joy, if we changed one word, to glorify God and enjoy him forever, change the and to by, to glorify God by enjoying him forever. That's our chief end. Well, you look right away, and poor Jonah, bless his heart, he did not glorify God in the first place because he ran from God instead of toward God. Hear the word of the Lord. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 and following. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Well, can you see that in your mind's eye? Jonah stopped at one area of the port of Joppa, and he asked these sailors, where are you guys headed? Well, we're going to Greece. And Jonah shakes his head. He said, no, that's not far away enough. I'm trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. So he goes to another place. He says, sailor, where are you guys heading on your ship? We're going to Egypt. Oh, man, that's way too close, too. So he moves to another vessel and makes another inquiry. How about you guys? Well, we're going to Cyprus. Goes to another. We're going to Crete. Oh, that's no good. And he's a little upset. And he finally moves to another ship where a guy is rolling up a barrel onto the vessel. And he says to him, mariner, sailor, what port is this ship bound for? And they say, we sail tonight for Tarshish. And he claps his hand. He says, oh, that's terrific. Tarshish, clear over in Spain, clear over at the very end of the world. Your ship is for me. And you see, when Jonah received, his commission from God to go to Nineveh and cry out against that wicked city, he disobeyed. And he headed in the very opposite direction and wanted to flee from the presence of God by going to Tarshish. That's a tough bill, isn't it? That's a tough act to flee from the presence of God. And for a time, he's on the boat to the ship to Tarshish. Things are going okay. But then suddenly the stars disappear. The night turns black as coal. Darkness swallows them up. The winds howl, the waves smash against the ship, and the King James Version is great. Chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Wrought is the old way of saying beaten out of shape from hammering. So this boat is in trouble. Everybody's doing all they can to save the ship from sinking under this gale. They probably threw a cable around the belly of the ship like they did in Paul's shipwreck situation in the book of Acts. And then they pull out the oars and they jettison all the valuable cargo, getting rid of everything they can, but everything is in vain. And this ship is driven like a helpless cork on the mighty ocean into this mighty tempest. And you know what they did? Well, you know it, and I've heard it. I never experienced this exactly. But they say, I heard my father talk about it. When you're in a foxhole, that's when you pray. And that's exactly what happened to them. Jonah 1:5. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. Well, wait a minute. Each cried out to his God, and nothing happened. You betcha nothing happened. Each cried out to his own God when there's only one true God of heaven and earth, and the guy that could talk to that one true God of heaven and earth is down in the middle of the ship, sound asleep. And hear the word of God, Jonah 1:5-6. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, love these words, what do you mean, you sleeper? What do you mean, you sleeper? What's wrong with you? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And that's the way the Hebrew writes it. Meanwhile, up on deck, the sailors become certain that they are in this dire situation because someone on deck has sinned and done something wrong. So they cast lots, and lo and behold, the lot falls to Jonah. And once the lot falls to Jonah, instead of casting lots anymore, they cast Jonah out of the ship. Now, they don't really want to. They try to forestall this happening. And so they ask him, trying to figure this whole thing out, what's your occupation? What do you do? And see, with that question, the great evangelical grace of repentance begins its work in Jonah's life. What's your job, Jonah? What's your occupation, Jonah? And he recalls, wait a minute, I am a prophet of the Lord God Almighty. Jonah 1:9-10. He said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea, this tempestuous mess that we're in, and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them that he was doing this. So, of course, they didn't want to throw him over the board. Would you want to throw the guy overboard whose God was messing with you and had done this? No, you want him to be all right because you don't want to offend his God. And they make one more desperate effort to save the ship, then gave in to Jonah's instructions after they prayed to his God. Pretty fast learners, huh? They prayed to the one true God. So then they took Jonah up in their arms and they carried him to the rail of the pitching vessel and they threw him into the raging sea. And the sea was satisfied. The sea, the instrument of the righteousness and justice of God, was now pacified. And it is enough, says the sea, and it ceases from its raging. And now comes some supernatural stuff. Well, it already was supernatural by virtue of the storm. But Jonah 1:7, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And I know with you, we've read the scientific attempts to explain this or deny the possibility. This is supernatural. This is the God of heaven and earth making a fish have a place and a habitation and keeping Jonah alive by supernatural presence in the belly of the fish. And that's time enough, isn't it, for the development of a substantial fish belly faith that says, you do not glorify God, church, when you run away from him, when the belly of the fish is upon you and the storm is raging about you. You glorify God and you develop a fish belly faith when you run toward God. No matter what happens in our lives, no matter when the tumult comes, no matter how fierce and overwhelming and disabling is the storm that has caused us to be flat on our faces, we run toward God. You see, when we are in the belly of the whale, we are Jonah, as the Hebrew people declare in their liturgy. When we experience what Jonah experienced, where the waters compass us about, where the depths of life close round about us, where the seaweeds of life wrap themselves around our heads, where we go down to the bottoms of the mountains, to use this language that we read in chapter 2 of Jonah, when the earth with her bars seems wrapped about us forever in imprisonment, that's when we have two options, just as Jonah had two options. One, we can go the weak way of railing against God. We can say, well, I didn't know this is what it meant to be a Christian. I don't know what this is all about, serving the Lord Jesus Christ in this culture that condemns me and tries to cancel me every time I open my mouth about the truth of human sexuality and gender being male and female. Am I getting off here on the side? That's not in my manuscript. Which doesn't mean... Anyway, or two, we can go the way of the strength of a fish belly faith. We can say, Lord, I'm a mess, which I sometimes am, and I'm in a mess, where we've all been, and Lord, I call upon you, as Jonah said, out of the fish's belly, or as the text later says, out of the belly of Sheol, or as the King James has it, powerful imagery, metaphor, out of the belly of hell, I'm calling upon the Lord. And who among us has not known the likes of being at one time or another in the belly of Sheol or in the belly of hell as we felt it? Who is Jonah? We are Jonah. Who is in the belly of the great fish? We are, have been, might be tomorrow. Well, we can go away from God or we can go to God. And Jonah makes it clear, the scriptures reveal, that we should go to God. And here, when we go to God, we glorify him. And we gain the strength of characteristic number one, Jonah's life of turning to God is an illustration that you and I can never flee from the presence of the Lord. We can never hide from God. Years ago, when my nieces, Lindsay and Gina, were about three or four years old, I forget exactly, Jan would know. Jan and I were at their home, Uncle Jeff and Aunt Jan, and they wanted to play hide and seek. I said, fine, let's play hide and seek. You count, I'll hide. And I went in the kitchen, and I climbed on top of the refrigerator. And of course, they're little. And I climbed on top of the refrigerator, and I hunkered down on top of that refrigerator. My big frame, I just shrunk it down to the size of a mouse, you know what I mean? And then they came looking for me, and they got in the other room, and I said, Gina, Lindsay, Gina. And they came running back in the kitchen, and I'm silent, you know? And they're looking everywhere. They're looking in the cupboards. But they didn't look up because I was kind of hidden anyway. And they run to the other room, and I say, Gina, Lindsay. They come running back in. Anyway, they were frustrated, and I finally revealed my hiding place, which is just a fun moment to say, I hid from them. I'm never hidden from God. He calls your name. You can't hide from him. And by the way, that refrigerator has never been the same. I had to pay for a new one, can you believe? No. Jonah thought he could hide from God, don't want to go to Greece, Egypt, Crete, Cyprus, But oh, was he mistaken, huh? God followed him to Joppa. God got on that ship bound for Tarshish. God sent out the winds. God sent his messengers, the winds and the sea, to vex Jonah. And God sent the great fish to swallow Jonah. And God goes with you in the morning. And he comes back with you into the home at night. And he's with you at lunchtime. And he's with you behind the closed doors. And he sees you, even as the old joke goes with Deacon Smith and Deacon Jones. Deacon Smith was in the alley corner drinking a bottle of whiskey. And Deacon Jones came to him and said, Deacon Smith, don't you know the Lord sees you? And he answered back, yeah, but he ain't no big blabbermouth like you are. It is not possible to flee from the presence of the Lord. That is the truth discovered at the very beginning of creation by the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve, when they were hiding themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And God says, Adam, where art thou? I know where you are. Adam and Eve and Jonah, real, factual, history of a long time ago, but don't put it there. Don't place it in history. It's as up to date as Sunday, April 25th, 2021 today. Jonah was not the only man with whom God has had trouble this way. He has trouble with you and me this way too. As clearly as Jonah ever heard the voice of God telling him to go to Nineveh, you and I have heard the voice of God by reading his holy word to do something and to go someplace. And the ministry and mission and the storm that broke over the Mediterranean that night when Jonah was on the ship fleeing to Tarshish is a symbol of the inner turmoil that hits me and hits you when our conscience, which is supposed to be loyal to the royal of God in us, our conscience burns within us because the holy presence of God is not being heard and followed. And that's the first side of the miracle here of Jonah and his fish belly faith, and that's what we want to have. Now, it leads us then to the second side, because what do you do when you realize that you've run from God and you have not exalted his glory but darkened his glory? And now you want to change that. Well, you engage in that fish belly strength of both prayer and repentance. And that's what Jonah's life experiences tells us, that there is a power here, a means of grace. Yeah, like the train is a means of transportation. Prayer and repentance has been ordained in the holy written word of God as the way grace is conveyed to you, and it strengthens you. Repentance. By repentance and prayer, Jonah was transformed from the cowardly renegade prophet to a true prophet of the Lord, worthy of a place in the sacred canon of Scripture. And worthy, too, of the inspired brush of Michelangelo, who on the frescoes of his immortal Sistine Chapel in the Vatican at Rome has Jonah as the biggest person up there, bigger than all the other prophets and all the apostles even. Because why? How great and beautiful and wonderful is repentance when you turn from your own rule to the control of Jesus Christ. You see, under every rip in the fabric of our Christian character, beneath all the needs of our Christian hearts and the Christian habits of our lives, deeper than the deepest despair lies this evangelical sovereign grace called repentance, where our souls turn to God and repent of all wrong that we know of. Your soul, under God's sovereign Holy Spirit within you, has within it, through sovereign grace, the power to repeat what Jonah did when he prayed and repented unto the Lord out of the belly of the whale and out of the belly of Sheol. Someone has even ventured to say, I don't know whether we would agree, you would or I would, that the greater miracle here than even the fish situation is this gift of repentance to a hardened heart in Jonah. This past week, I read Proverbs 20, verse 9, because, you know, I try to read one a day, a proverb. It works out because there's 31 of them, and sometimes I make it that day, sometimes I don't, but I did this week. And Proverbs 29 says, who can say, I have made my heart pure, I am clean from my sin? And I often wrote in the right in the margins. I just wrote in the margin, not I. I can't. I know it's not funny. It's sad. But it's true. I can't. Surely not I. And how about the power of prayer here, as shown in the experience of Jonah? Here in chapter 2, and I read it, he says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. You know when he prayed? When he was going down. The fish just didn't suddenly appear to stop it. He was on his way down to the bottom of the ocean. And that's when he's praying. And here comes this fish. What a wonderful answer. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea. All your waves and all your billows passed over me. The sovereignty of God moves us into repentance and calls us to deep prayer. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, Jonah said, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Can you hear? Can you hear him moving out of the deep darkness of drowning into the hope of the presence of God? And the Lord, it says, now spoke to the fish, then it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. And I'll tell you, you can check the history books, and you can read again about the great rejoicing and happiness of the celebration back in 1858 when the first transatlantic cable was laid between the continents and the first message was sent out and everybody was just gloriously happy. And we can talk about Twitter and we can talk about Facebook and we can talk about all of the internet capabilities and satellite launches and networks in the whole wide world, but nothing. Nothing is as wonderful as your capacity to merely, in the name of Jesus, lift your voice and heart to God and instantly be in communication with the God of the universe and the God who sustains everything by his righteous sovereign power. What a gift is that? And from the bottom of the sea, from the belly of Sheol, on your bed at the close of day, you can cry unto God as Jonah did, and that's why you should ever go to God and not run from him when in the belly of the whale. First characteristic that glorifies him, go to him, not away. Second characteristic is prayer and repentance. That's seeking him with all that you are. And it leads us then to the grounded happiness and joy of our lives that is truly the substantiation for your ongoing hanging in there when whatever happens. Why turn to God and not away from him? Jonah, chapter 3. Arise, go to Nineveh. But right before that, The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Can we ever be thrilled enough by that statement? The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah certainly did not deserve it. No second chance for you, Jonah. As a prophet of God, he was doubly guilty from disobeying God's voice when God spoke the first time. Yet God, in this goodness of God, gave Jonah a second chance. And how many second chances has God given to you and me? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. What if God spoke only once, and then if you disobeyed, he did not speak to you ever a second time? What if after we refused his word, God never sent the Holy Spirit to plead with us again? What if when we sinned, he never gave us grace to repent? Hallelujah. God is long-suffering, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, abundant in steadfast love, and we see it time and again in his holy, infallible, divine revelation of his word. Remember King Manasseh? We called him Wicked King Manasseh. For 50 years on the throne, he held up blasphemy and sin in repetitive, ceaseless, erroneous behavior. Yet when in captivity and suffering, he humbled himself and cried to God, get a load of this. God heard him and gave him a second chance and restored him to his throne. King David has the word of the Lord come to him like few others, and he answers with a great transgression. He answers that by sinning in quick succession, breaking 5 of the 10 commandments. The 10th, thou shalt not covet. The 7th, thou shalt not commit adultery. The 8th, thou shalt not steal. The 6th, thou shalt not kill. The 9th, thou shalt not bear false witness. But David did them all, but then David repented when he said, I have sinned. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And God heard him and gave him a second chance. And when Jonah, having a whale's belly for a practice pulpit, and walking away from there with the strength of a fish belly faith, arrived at last at Nineveh. He gives Nineveh, in 8 dynamic words, one of the greatest sermons on record. You may be wishing I had 8 dynamic words only. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And by that, wicked Nineveh, anchored and locked in their iniquity and the perdition and perversion of their own sin, God saves them and gives them a second chance. And you do know, yes, we do know, don't we, where God has glorified himself in the clearest, most undefeatable demonstration of the greatest second chance in all of history to all the world that will believe in him. We do know, don't we, when God asked with mighty thunder, with the clouds of darkness hovering there at Golgotha, and the earth quaking there more than the waters tumult around Jonah quaked to drown him. When God asked, who will tell them, my people, that they cannot escape ever from my presence? And who will show them and assure them the power of prayer and the evangelical grace of repentance? Teach them of that, that is. And who will require for them even the very right of a second chance in the sight of my matchless holiness and glory? And what is the answer to those questions? And who is the answer to those questions? Well, out of the stormy darkness of the raging sea, of the cruelness of fallen humanity, from the mouth of the figure raised in majestic sacrifice, above the quaking earth, surrounded with the storm-darkened clouds of heaven, from Calvary's cross, comes the great voice, even the voice out of the very belly of hell into which he descended on that cross to rise again on the third day, comes the voice not of Jonah, but of Jesus, answering to his father, I will tell them, I will show them, I will assure them, I will secure the salvation of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth and fifth and the sixth and on into an infinity of chances. For such is the power of saving grace given by the eternal Son of God, Jesus our Lord, to all sinners who will not fly to Tarshish, but will run to him. And I hear Jonah 1:6 in closing. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, O sleeper? What do you mean, O sleeper? Arise and call out to your God." The captain came to him. The captain. The captain. Only it's not just any old captain. It's the captain of our salvation. And he is our salvation. And with unstoppable divine sovereign grace, our captain says to us, and I want to hear that. What do you mean, you sleepers? Arise and call out to God, your Father, with your fish belly faith that cannot escape his loving, merciful presence. And arise, talk to him constantly with the gift of prayer and the evangelical grace of repentance. And arise and know again and again that every second of your life is still touched with, yes, sin and brokenness this side of heaven, but nevertheless, the Holy Spirit has his saving arms around us, and they are nothing less than the divine arms of the second chance. So to God be all the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for Jonah's being a hero because he stumbled like we so stumble. But we get back up because of you. And renew us this day. Revive us this day. Holy Spirit, bless all here, all who watch, all who are on a sick bed. In the name of Jesus Christ, we humbly ask, amen.